These things are amazing, you know that? I mean, we love them, right? We love them. We call it our phone, but we use it, most of us use it for way more than making calls. Of course, we text, we use it for a camera, we use it for GPS, getting from one place to another. There's all kind of maps on there that we can look at. We keep our calendar on it. There are a lot of different apps. So those apps are wonderful that you can download. I love it whenever I go hiking. My phone is right next to me whenever I go hiking because it's got the trails in there and I can follow how long I am on the trail. Recently discovered that I can identify flowers just like that. You can record bird calls on it, and I can tell. I mean, it's just so good. Keeps track of our exercise and the weather and the sports scores, and we can do our banking on it. And not that I'm there yet, but we can even adjust our hearing aids on it, right? We can do that with our phones. What am I understanding? And so it's amazing what those things can do. And when it comes to prayer, prayer is so much more than just asking God for things or, oh, what's prayer? Prayer's talking to God. It is way more than that. John Mark Comer said this, there are four stages, four areas of prayer. There is talking to God. There is talking with God. There is listening to God. And then there is being with God as a form of prayer. And so prayer is all about walking with God. In part of Luke chapter 11, where we have been, where the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, the disciples were watching Jesus and they were noticing that he was different after times of prayer. He would go into time of prayer and he would be different when he would return, because he was dealing with stress of all kinds, with all kinds of people, right? He was dealing with the stress of just, you know, taking on the weight of him, you know, people, sick people coming to him, and he's praying and he's healing them. He's dealing with the stress of the religious leaders trying to undermine him. And the disciples looked at Jesus and they saw after he was done praying, he was relaxed. He was focused. He was renewed. He was re-energized. And it was all because he spent time in prayer with the Heavenly Father. And he kind of knew what he was going to do next. I mean, there was never any doubt in his mind. It was all because he spent time with his Heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus told his disciples on the last night he was on the earth. And this is a paraphrase of John chapter 15. He said this, enjoy being with me and talking with me even as I do with my Abba, with my daddy. Jesus says, and then you will have the strength and ability to do great work. Jesus is telling us there, told his disciples there, that the key to having a real and abundant life and a successful life is spending time with him in prayer. And so what I want to do today is to delve into the Lord's Prayer itself, that phrase that we say every week. And I know we covered part of it last week in the book of Luke, and Luke kind of chops it up a little bit. I want to go back to the original in Matthew, because the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful model that helps us to walk with God. And so I just kind of want to go through it. And the first one is this, that phrase, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here, Jesus is teaching us about the Father's character. That word hallowed means holy. And so we approach God with reverence and awe. God is without sin. God is without any darkness. And so God is always good. God is always good. God is love. And so we approach God in humility, and everything and anything that we have is totally from God's hand. It is not of our doing. And so, you know, it's not because of our hard work. It's not because of our smarts. It's not because, oh, I just got lucky. No, everything that we have, everything that we are, is because and from God. And so we approach God, we approach his character with that understanding in mind. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we pray for the Father's kingdom. We pray for the Father's kingdom. Heaven represents God's perfect world. There is no sin, no violence, no disease, no crying, no pain. And so here Jesus is teaching us to pray that the world of heaven be brought about here on earth. Note in that prayer, Jesus doesn't pray for us to be taken up to heaven. Right? He prays that God's perfect will would be done here on earth. In the book of Revelation, we read that God, this is a passage that says, God is making all things new. That one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God is king of the world, but he is not a dictator. He hasn't totally taken his hands off the wheel. And so he has actually entrusted his children. He's entrusted us to manage and to steward the world. And prayer is one of the ways that we carry out our task as co-rulers with Jesus in this world. I need to stop right now. I for some reason, I just feel really out of whack. And so I just need to stop and pray. I don't know what it is. But I just don't feel right, all right? And so let me pray, all right? Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this time in worship. We thank you for this time when we open up your word and allow your word to speak to us. And as we get into talking about the Lord's Prayer, Lord, I pray that for whatever reason, my heart is just not settled right now. And so, Lord, I pray that you would kind of take over and not just help me get through this, but this would be a word from you. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in me. I pray that your spirit would move in all of us. That you would teach us, your spirit would teach us, and that you would draw us closer to yourself, and that we would have a deeper understanding of the prayer that you had given your disciples and us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. Sometimes you just need to press a reset. I kind of need to press a reset. So, Then the part of the Lord's Prayer is this. Give us today our daily bread. We pray for the Father's provision. Okay? We are needy beings. And so in prayer, we can admit those needs to God. We not just for our physical needs, but we pray for our food, clothing, and shelter. But we need good health for our bodies. And so we ask God for that. We have spiritual and emotional needs. There are situations where we need hope, and so we go to God. There are situations where we need companionship, someone to love. We go to God with that. Or to strengthen our spirits or to grow our faith. This is all included when we pray our daily bread, when we ask God for our daily bread. God is a giver, and he wants us to live in abundance, and he wants to fulfill us. He wants us to give us more than we ever dreamed of. That God is just a good God. And so here is where we ask God for whatever that is, whatever our hunger is. We go to him with our most basic needs, anticipating that God is going to feed us. And we also think of the needs of our family and our friends and our world. We pray that God would provide all of those needs, even when the situation seems dire. We think of Jesus feeding the 5,000. That story God has an abundant supply. And so we must ask him, right? And then forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Here we pray for the Father's forgiveness. Here's the beauty of forgiveness, right? That we can go to God and we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And we stand before God and we can be forgiven of our sins. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. To go before God and to know that your sins are forgiven. Now, it'd been so easy if Jesus would have just said the first part. Forgive us our debts. Right? But then Jesus says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, this is kind of classic Jesus. Notice that it's not a conditional statement there. In other words, he doesn't say that God will forgive our debts if we forgive our debtors. St. Augustine called this, this is a terrible petition. He said, if you pray these words while harboring an unforgiving spirit against someone, you're actually asking God not to forgive you. Think about this for a minute. Think about that word as there, that is the linchpin in that whole phrase right there. If you pray, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors while refusing to forgive somebody who's wronged you, this prayer actually becomes a curse, a self-inflicted curse. And we're asking God to forgive our sins according to the same standard we have used in forgiving the sins of others. And so we're actually praying, the way you treat others is the way God will treat you. We're actually praying, God, since I haven't forgiven my brother, don't forgive me. This is why Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, said, if you pray the Lord's Prayer with an unforgiving spirit, you have virtually signed your own death warrant, is what he said. For a while, John Wesley was a missionary in the American colonies, primarily in the area of Georgia. And there was a general by the name of Oglethorpe, John Wesley knew. General Oglethorpe was a great military leader, but he had a reputation for being very harsh and being very brutal. One day, he said to John Wesley, I never forgive. To which Wesley replied, then, sir, I hope you never sin. And so we ask God to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And number 13, and then the next verse 13, it's not verse 13, but it, lead us not into temptation. Here we have the Father's guidance. That word for temptation there also means testing or trial. It's sometimes confusing because it's like, okay, is God actually waving temptation right in front of us to try and get us to sin? Well, that's not it. I understand it more like this. As we go about our business in the world, we will be tempted. We will have adversity. We will have trials. We are going to be tempted to go and act in ways that are not God-honoring. And so this is a way of saying, Father, I'm weak, and I recognize my own sinfulness and my own limitations. And so, God, we pray for God to guide us, for God to give us wisdom, for God to open up our eyes to see false paths and spiritual dead ends. And so we're praying, God, help me to be alert to those times when I'm prone to sin, and help me to avoid those situations. And then finally, but deliver us from the evil one. Here we pray for the Father's protection. We pray for the Father's protection. There is an evil power in the world that we call Satan, who is anti-God, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy every good thing that God does, including us. He's out to destroy us and the good things that we do. He wants to steal our joy, our love, and our health. And he tempts us to do his will and to participate in evil and to do anti-God things. And so we pray that God will keep us safe as we venture out into life doing God's will. And so when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he didn't say, hey, I want you to repeat these words all the time. But this is a good model for us. This is a good framework for us as we pray. And so one of the things, one of the ways that we can pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, we can get into just doing the, saying the same thing over and over to where it becomes rote. And then we just, you know, and okay, I did my duty and that's it. All right. But there's a way that you can pray the Lord's Prayer that I call sticky prayer. All right. Where you slowly pray the Lord's Prayer and you listen for the Holy Spirit to cause a part of the Lord's Prayer to stick in your mind. Kind of just get caught there. All right. And so when that happens, go a little bit deeper with it. So you begin praying. You can begin praying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you begin to think, what's going on? You know, it just comes to your mind that there's this war in Gaza, right? You're thinking that there's people fighting around the world, and that's not God's will. And so we pray, Lord, that there would not be any war. We pray against starvation, because there's none of that. There's none of that in heaven. But that's just, that comes to our mind as we're praying. So we pray that God's will would be done on earth the way it is in heaven. Or we pray, give us today our daily bread. And then it hits you. As you mentioned that, you've got some health-related issues that's really, really bothering you. You've got time with the doctor. And so you begin to pray for that. Or there's financial issues that come to mind that you need to be taken care of. Or maybe you're feeling sad and depressed and you need to feel better emotionally. And so that is what you pray for. That's some of the daily bread that you need. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you're thinking, as you pray that, it's like all of a sudden somebody pops in your mind, somebody that really, really offended you, right? And they become your debtor. And you feel that they stole part of your humanity from you. And so you begin to pray, Father, how can I make things right? Father, how can I fix this situation? You know, Father, how do you want me to respond to them? So this is part of, this is, we look for what sticks. Lord, lead us not into temptation. We pray for guidance. Father, give me wisdom for decisions that I have to make today. Maybe you're deciding on buying a new car. Oh, it's too much money. Is that too much money? Lord, show me. You know, show me what I need to do. But each day, you pray the Lord's Prayer, you can have an area of that prayer that just kind of grabs you and focus your prayer on that, right? Or you take a particular issue that is on your mind and you run it through the Lord's Prayer. Run it through the Lord's Prayer kind of as a model. Sometimes when I will pray for people in the hospital, I will use the Lord's Prayer as a model when I pray. And it could go something like this. Father, you are Lord and King over everything, over every situation. You are holy, and I pray that every situation that we go through, including being here in the hospital, might give you glory. Lord, I pray for my sister Diana this morning, that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no illness or pain or the need to have knee replacements. And so we pray against that. Lord, let your kingdom come today in Diana's body. Father, give Diana everything that she needs during this time, healing and a healthy body and love and peace and hope. Father, forgive Diana as she forgives others, because we know that unforgiveness in our spirit can cause our bodies to react as well. Father, let her not be tempted to turn from you during this time, but to be drawn closer to you, and protect her from the evil one who wants to take away her joy and her health. So you can pray for other people using that model of the Lord's Prayer. Or you can take one phrase of the Lord's Prayer and focus on that throughout the whole day. Right? Our Father in heaven. And you can just concentrate on that throughout the day. All the time. When you're out driving through town, you think about God being your Father. And you think about your loving Heavenly Father, His awesomeness, His beauty, His glory, how He has blessed you. There's a number of different ways. Or in another day, you're focused on delivering us from evil. You watch the news, right? You think about delivering us from evil. And so there are a number of different ways you can use the Lord's Prayer as a model. We just don't want to get into it where we just repeat it. Okay, it's a great prayer. And if you did repeat it, that's fine. But you can take it even further than that. We just don't want it to become a rote thing that we say. I can remember when I was young and began praying for, you know, my own personal needs. And I was kind of growing as a Christian a little bit. And I began praying for other people. And so often my prayers were very simple, and it would be, you know, something simple, you know, we would just say, you know, God be with Cappy. God be with David, right? It would, you know, that's so often what we say, just God, just be with them, right? Be with Diana as she goes through surgery. Then I get to think, so, you know, I think I'd go do a little deeper than that. I can imagine God just saying there, okay, I'm already here, you know. So we want to go a little deeper in our prayers. Now, I know what we mean when we say that. You know, we're calling attention. We're telling God, hey, pay attention to this situation. We ask for your presence to be a little greater in that situation. But then I heard someone somewhere said, listen, when you pray, put teeth into your prayers. Begin to pray specifically for things. Because we can really easy get into the habit to just say, I pray for Lori, right? Well, let's get specific for our prayers. Because let's face it, God already knows, but it helps us. It takes us a little deeper. Jesus taught us specific things to pray for. So let's try and pray like Jesus taught us, and perhaps we will begin to experience the power that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. That I had this verse in the beginning. Remember what he said. He said this. This is what he told his disciples. Enjoy being with me and talking with me, even as I do with my Abba, with my daddy. And then, Jesus says, you will have the strength and ability to do great work. We see here the power of prayer. Let's not ignore this, okay? And I know I'm a little off today, okay? I get that. But use the Lord's Prayer as a wonderful model and put teeth into our prayers as we pray. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank you for the scriptures that you showed us how to pray. There are numerous prayers of people in the scriptures. There is the model prayer that Jesus taught us. And that's not always the issue. The issue for us is that we create time in our schedule to pray. To spend time with you, to go to you with our concerns. And Lord, you know our hearts. But Lord, you also know how we can become better prayers, better students of the gospel, better children of yours, who are more connected to our Father. And so, Father, as we think about our prayers and how we pray. Lord, would you help us to create time in our schedule to spend time with you? Father, it is just so opposite of what our society tells us that we need to be busy. Prayer doesn't seem at all to be busy. But Lord, teach us the importance of it. Show us that is important in our walk with you. God, would you give us a glimpse of your power and the benefit of prayer this week? May it just jump out at you, at us, that we would be compelled to pray even more. And Father, I pray that everyone in here would become good prayers. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.